May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Hey, well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here today. This is the day when we join with other Christians from around the world in remembering that, hey, this baby Jesus in the manger we celebrated at Christmas doesn't stay there, but gets on the move, and now we are at the baptism of Jesus. So the baptism of our Lord throughout the world we celebrate. And we remember that Jesus, part of his baptismal commission was to tell his followers, hey, make as many followers as you can, teaching them, inviting them into my grace and my life, and baptize them, all nations, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's why we still baptize today one another and claim our baptismal identity. Last week, I tossed out the idea, hey, if you have a picture of your baptism or that of one of your family members, send that in or text me. So I did that, and then via Facebook, and wow, did you guys respond. And so I apologize. I've got a few pictures here. I apologize in advance. Just not enough time to put everybody's up there, but I do have a few. So let's take a look just for fun. John and Laura Musil are in the other worship service, and this is up in Ohio. Their kids, Steve and Mandy. And then, how about that? Steve grows up, and he keeps the tradition going with his kids, Emma and Abigail. And then one more, Sam, baptized 2 years ago here. Next, the Casey family. I don't think they're here today, but many of you know these kids, Katie and Michael, Aaliyah and Cameron. 4 kids adopted by this family all in one day, and then baptized together all in one day. And there was up in South Carolina. Amy Marlin, she and her kids are down the hall in worship, but their daughters Lauren and Molly and Ruby all sharing a dress, and all of them have sung at the Moravian Love Service. All right, next. Ethan Williams, and let's see, so our grandparents, Terry and Lisa, here, were they at the, yep, there they are, all right. And so there's Ethan, and Andrea is one of our council members, so Mom. So there's, now look at this, Ethan is now a few years later, there he is as the crucifer for the baptism of his cousin, Slade. And then a few years later, we have Sutton, Slade's brother, being baptized, and they go to the preschool downstairs. All right, next slide. Some of you know Suzanne Byers. Where are you, Suzanne, in the choir? Your hair is lovely, but let's look at the evolution. Not much here, but let's go to this next picture. Look at that beautiful long hair. And Dave, just like me, you used to have a little bit more, but in Oak Park, Illinois. How about that with your son, Steve? All right. Maya Frederick. You know, Maya is here often. She's in North Carolina. She was in a Christian movie, and they're having the premiere of that movie this weekend. Really neat. Lisa Hart. Is Nancy Sheepak here today? Nancy. Yeah, there you are, Nancy. And your sister, Lisa. Really sweet at her baptism. Thanks for that picture. Anna Strelick, Joe and Cindy are often ushers with their daughter, Anna. Another great story of an adopted little girl and down in Florida for her baptism a few days later. Shelly and Aaron, are they here today? I know that I saw them walking, maybe for Sunday school at least, but Mike and Pat Oliver are the grandparents, and yep, we celebrate with you. Very neat. And then at the early service, Bill and Karen with their daughters, Brianna and Sarah, really neat. Here's my daughter, Morgan, back in the day. She's a millennium baby. And Mason and Marion were here this morning. One of those stories about a dress. 8 different grandchildren all shared a dress. Next, some of you, Heather Naske and parents Roland and Etta, who used to worship with us. There they are in younger days at Rock of Ages and Stone Mountain. Some of you sent copies of certificates, which were really cool. And I think the oldest one I saw was from my mom, of her dad, my Grandpa Miller, 1920 years ago. So thanks for sending in all kinds of those. Here's on Facebook, my cousin said, hey, there's this Grandpa Weesey baptizing me, which was really neat. But look at the size of that font. Is that they sort of wheel that in and flip the lid up, and you've got a font. That's could be the smallest one I've ever seen. So let's go from the smallest to maybe one. This is the church I served in Ohio. We had one, and the water would always flow from it, and you could dunk kids if you needed to do that there. Is that the largest? Hang on now. What about our Palmetto Road with 4-acre lake? Well, a few years ago, we were out there, and three of our kids, John, Sarah, and Matt, all were baptized. Since it was November, we did not go into the water, but we used the water on the edge, and that was really neat. Next slide, and finally, this is in Wittenberg, Germany. That's the baptismal font where Martin Luther's five or six children were baptized. And again, you could do some dunking, full immersion if you need to on that. There are all kinds of crazy stories you folks shared with me, which were fun. Josh says, I was baptized in the kitchen sink down in Brazil. And Tracy shares, I can't really remember. I think I had my socks and shoes on as I went down into the baptismal pool at her church. And then as we, I think you just saw in the kids' sermon, it's interesting how baptismal imagery is all over our culture. And from that great story, I don't know what points Pastor Miriam emphasized. The one point my wife always points out to me in this is the priest figure is a baboon. So... So those are her big points. Yeah, I'm noting you're laughing harder at that one than any of my lame jokes that I try to offer. But okay, so you've got that point. Let me offer a few other points in our time remaining together. But first, on the way to that baptismal challenge. Find out the details of your baptism. Some of you know the date already, and that's awesome. If you don't, no problem. Do a little research. Take on this challenge to find out when that was. Number two, get the info to the church office. Some of it's there, some of it's not. And do you know, Director of Children, Ellen, has us write birthday cards to kids. We love to do that. But we know, hey, we're probably one of 10 cards that they get. We'd like to shift that to their baptismal day and send them a card, really helping them own that and celebrating that special day. So get those dates to the office and we'll follow through. If you realize you were never baptized before, hey, that's okay. But talk to the pastors. We'd like to share a little bit more about what this is and what we can do. Number four, if you know, I was 1967 was the year, but I've looked and I've asked my cousin, I don't know. I would encourage you to pick a specific date that you could just celebrate. My suggestion to keep it simple, if you know you were born on January 4 is your birthday, choose February 4 as the day you're going to celebrate. It's not too far away. It's easy to remember because every day you want to celebrate. Martin Luther said, as you wash up, you could take that water and make the sign of the cross on your forehead and said, I am a baptized child of God. I'm forgiven. Today's a new, fresh day, and celebrate that out. Get your candle out on that day, and get the pictures out, and claim it, celebrate it. Especially as parents, you're teaching your kids how to own their dates. All right, let's wrap up this with a few points. It's nice to talk about the gowns. It's nice to talk about the size of the font. It's nice to talk about the date. But what does all that mean? It means these following things. And I'm going to say all these things with a big asterisk. Everything we get to say about our baptism, we get to say trusting that it's predicated on Jesus' baptism. Why do we say that? Well, what did we hear in our first lesson? St. Paul reminded us, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ were also baptized into his death? Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life. So do you hear that great news? That is the promise that Jesus' story in baptism becomes our story. All right, so let's tell the story. First thing we get to say in baptism, Jesus hears and we hear that God loves us. What did we hear from heaven? This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. God says that about each of you. Yes, Jesus loves me. My baptism tells me so. Turn to somebody and tell them, I just heard God loves you. Go ahead and tell them that. All right. Secondly, in baptism, God loves us without us earning it. What a gift that is. We notice, when does this happen in Jesus' ministry? It's at the very beginning. What? He hasn't healed anybody. He hasn't preached one parable yet. No disciples have been called. No miracles. Nothing has been accomplished. But yet God wants to go all in front of everybody and say about this rookie, this novice, nothing has been accomplished yet. This is my boy. I love him. Same for us. You know, all but baptisms, if you're 99 years old, if you're 9 days, 9 hours old, the baptism is great. There's no right time. But we would say, as the Lutheran part of the Christian family, why, as we converse with our brothers and sisters in the Christian family, why we're okay with it, infant baptism, is because it emphasizes God's grace, right? Before any of you earn an amazing grade point, before we earn trophies or athletic prowess or musical acumen, before you dazzle anybody with your fine clothes or fancy homes, as helpless little babies who do nothing much besides cry and request help, or if you're a theological newbie, it's then that God chooses you to be a part of his family and announces his love. You know, we are so blessed. It is so cool today that if you're able to stay after the service, as you heard Pastor Miriam share, I'm sure, we get to meet some friends in our county, Two Sparrows Village. And we're glad some of their board is with us, even here in worship, before we get to talk. And some of you know the story here is there. Fayette County organization, and some of them have kids with autism, and all of us have some type of connection with people, our family members with learning challenges. And I think it's powerful that so often, you know, that it's kids with autism or people who have walked a special life that are able to see what God is doing in a very special way, and are folks that are very close to God's heart. Here's what I'm trying to tell you in this. Baptism has far less to do with your IQ and far more with God's I love you. Thirdly, God loves declaring how he feels about you in front of the whole world. For Jesus, that's why a voice comes from heaven in front of all the people. This is my son. I love him. And do you remember in another gospel, there's one line that's attached. Listen to him. That's what God says about you too. Have you ever heard this line? It's a wonderful one. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. That's why, if at all possible, we want baptisms to happen in worship so that everybody can cheer. And just like we saw in The Lion King, all kinds of people or animals clapping their hands and celebrating together. And yes, every once in a while, in case of emergency or a certain situation, there needs to be a private baptism. But God usually wants you in front of everybody to know, as many as possible, that you are welcome to his family. And that's the second to last point. In baptism, God gives us a family. For Christmas, my wife, Luann, gave me one of those Ancestry.com kits. And so I filled that out. I think I only have 2 more weeks to get the results. And you learn, some of you have heard, every once in a while there's a little surprise. You know, you might, ooh, I got a brother or sister or cousin I didn't know about. So my mom and dad are here this weekend. And I said, hey, anything I need to know before I get the results here? And I think I'm good to go. But I'm looking forward to see, you know, where in the world am I from? Hey, I already know, though, in baptism, my most profound identity. I am a brother of Jesus, the Lord Christ, right? And you are my sisters and my brothers and the most important family that I have. Would you turn to somebody and tell them, hey, sis, or hey, bro, go ahead. All right. That's something. So we've got some mothers and daughters who realize, hey, I'm a sister as well to you. As you know, in November, you gave me 2 weeks, 2 weeks on sabbatical in Wittenberg, Germany. And when I got to be with 21 other pastors from 18 different countries, I just love that aspect every day to be reminded I have got a worldwide family. And when we realize that, and then that you've got a worldwide family, and then you start watching the news, and then you start hearing about things that are happening, then your values, your decision making, takes on a different lens, right? It is more mature than it is otherwise when you have got a baptismal lens of who your family is. Well, we could go on and on, but I'm going to wrap up with this one. In baptism, we get to celebrate that we're different for a reason. When I was younger, maybe you felt this way. Younger folks, you stress out over standing out. You don't want anyone to notice how you're different. You just want to blend in. Then, in faith, we hear the news that God has designed us differently for his pleasure and for his purpose. Wasn't that fun in The Lion King to see all the different kinds of animals who are together? And some of you are like the wise owls. Oh boy, you bring leadership to council, or you're able to walk with someone as a Stephen minister. Some of you are like Zazu the parrot, who is able to serve as a mentor or a guide to our young people. And that's why you show up on Wednesday night confirmation or Sunday school teaching. Some of you are like elephants. You're a little slow, but oh, you are steady. And you get things done for God over the course of time. You're different, but that's the plan. You know, there was a political candidate I heard about recently, and an opponent called him out because of one part of his identity. And the candidate, I think, replied something like this: your complaint, sir, is not with me, but my creator. And I wonder if that's sort of the way it is with just about all of us. To a large extent, we are who we are because God says, I can use your differences. A creator gifts us with a personality and special gifts and unique ways of seeing the world to make an impact in a way that only you can. And just like an orchestra is not complete without the unique instruments, so too church is not complete without you, each of you, playing and engaging with your special contributions. I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoiced the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. We're going to sing that together in just a moment. But indeed, in your baptism, God promises that he will be with you always, loving you, equipping you, standing by you, connecting with you, giving you a family that is a part of Jesus' death and resurrection, giving you gifts to make the world a more delightful place of joy in life. Indeed, as we stand at the beginning of a new year, you got to figure out, how do you want to look at it? Through your baptismal identity, you have a 2020 vision. Claim it, see it, live it. In Jesus' name, amen.